Good evening, everyone. I was really enjoying the first half of our all-night sit. The feeling in the Zendo, at least mine was, felt very deep and peaceful and quiet. And to me, that's the great gift of this time of year. I dislike almost everything else about it, the holiday making, the cold, the darkness. But when we take the time just to sit, all of a sudden we connect with something that feels very deep, very literally profound, which, although manifest every day of our lives, seems easier to connect with now when so many of the bright baubles that we like to play with are taken away from us for a season. Light, color, noise, gaiety, all those things are great. But there's nothing like darkness and cold and crystal clear air for allowing us to connect with basically ourselves. I'd like to say our deepest selves, but that's not really the case. There's nothing deep or shallow about it. It's just us. And that self that we connect with is not different than the self that our founding teacher Shakyamuni Buddha connected with more than 2,500 years ago. And in many ways, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. This is also a great time of year to reflect on the questions and concerns that brought us into this practice. In Shakyamuni Buddha's case, as you recall, basically he lived a life of extreme luxury and privilege, but he wasn't free. He had to stay within the walls of the pleasure palace. And as soon as he freed himself and went outside those walls and was confronted with the reality of sickness, old age, and death, and the whole panoply of human suffering, he couldn't see any meaning in the life he had been living. It was all going to be taken away. Was all going to ripen, rot, die on the vine, and disappear. What meaning or comfort could there be in such a situation? And of course, the irony is that after many years of extremely arduous practice, basically beating his head against the brick wall in a way that I think is immediately recognizable to all of us. What he found was very simple. He found that the very thing that seemed to render his life meaningless was actually his eternal life throughout all space and time. Emptiness, change, impermanence, the lack of any abiding self, the lack of any firm ground to put your feet on ever, ever, ever. Least of all, Zen or the Dharma or the teachings. And as the legend goes, we're told that this happened during his own personal session when he constructed a cushion out of grasses that were growing by the bank of a river. And that's interesting to me because, you know, grasses in East Asian symbolism are symbolize delusion. So he wove a cushion of his delusions, and he sat right in the middle of them, and he vowed not to rise from his seat till he had laid to rest the questions that were plaguing him. And then, as we're told in the lamp record, which is our record, both legendary and historical, of the Buddhist lineage, of our lineage, we're told that Shakyamuni Buddha saw the morning star and was enlightened. And he said, "I and the earth and beings simultaneously achieve the way." That's quite a statement, isn't it? I and the great earth and beings simultaneously achieve the way. In his commentary on this extraordinary passage, Keizan Zenji says, "The so-called I in this statement is not Shakyamuni Buddha, and Shakyamuni Buddha also comes from this I. Not only does Shakyamuni come from it, but the great earth and beings also come from it. Just as when a large net is taken up and all the many openings of the net, they are also taken up. So when Shakyamuni Buddha was enlightened, the great earth and all beings were enlightened." I think it's very important to realize what is being said here, because our conventional notion of time is being turned on its head. So when we look at this statement, we tend to think, okay, so he saw the morning star and was enlightened 2,500 years ago. And at that moment, then everyone who happened to be around 2,500 years ago was enlightened at the same time. Lucky them. Well, we only have this notion because our usual notion of time is very self-centered. So we're accustomed to look upon ourselves as a fixed entity. So we are the present, and everything that was before was the past, and everything to come is the future. So we are the reference point. One of the basic teachings of Buddhism is there is no such thing. There is no reference point. So as Dogen points out in his essay, Uji, moments are linked together. He says, the entire world, all things in the entire world are linked together with one another as moments, because all moments are the time being. They are your time being. And he says, do not think that time merely flies away. It only seems to be passing because you believe that time is separate from yourself. Basically, what he's saying is that the enlightenment of Shakyamuni happened not only 2,500 years ago historically, although, of course, that's one way to look at it. The enlightenment happens in all moments of being time. In all moments of time, the morning star is blinking. Sometimes in the form of a star, sometimes in the form of a cough, sometimes in the form of a car horn, an ache in our shoulder or in our legs. At all moments, we can have an opportunity to wake up to the reality that Shakyamuni woke up to. What's going on right now? We either realize it or we don't, that's all. What is it that keeps us from realizing it? The simple answer is our feeling that we are separate from it, that we're here. And enlightenment is something very big and wonderful out there that we need to attain. Well, it is something big and wonderful, but we are something big and wonderful. Our lives are something that are very big and very wonderful. If instead of trying to run away from them, we open our hands and we open our hearts, and we let them in. We let in our individual moments of being time. So what the Buddha realized was that he was the great way that circulates everywhere. And at the same time, he was poor old, beaten up, confused Shakyamuni who'd been starving himself all these years for nothing. We have the same opportunity. We have the same capability. The mind of Shakyamuni Buddha was not a whit more the wonderful Buddha mind than the mind of any of us. The only difference is in the degree of realization. And once it's realized, there are differences in the degree of actualization, what we choose to do with the knowledge that we are the Buddha. But there's no way out of Buddhahood. The eyes are filled with it, the ears are filled with it. Every sound, every sight is a recitation of a Buddha sutra. So all we are really doing when we get together like this and when we practice strenuously and we put ourselves wholeheartedly into each moment of our being time is we are participating in this wonderful sutra that is chanted and recited throughout all space and time. This is a deep time of year, deep and clear. We have an opportunity tonight to appreciate our being time. Some of us will have an opportunity at the end of the month to participate in the end of the year session. All of us have the opportunity to open our hearts and open our minds and let go of our delusions and realize, as Shakyamuni did, that it all begins and it all ends with this moment, this mind, in other words, us.